This is Mark Langdon's Bets Club.
Hello and a warm welcome to Mark Langdon's Bets Club, brought to you by CopyBets. It's your one-stop shop for football betting insight. Jack Reeve and Mark Langdon to guide you through yet another busy podcasting week. Mark, how are things?
Yeah, it's okay. Sun's shining at the moment as we speak. It's my on Thursday, so it's my son's birthday. So
is it?
Feeling ever older. All good. I can see the football finishing line as well, which always I think just raises a smile. It's been a long season.
Absolutely. What did the boy ask for his birthday? Has he been lucky enough to be gifted something?
Oh, it's money. He just wants.
Is it? Just cash.
Yeah. From everyone.
There we go. Did you enjoy the Champions League midweek action? We'll start with Manchester City against Real Madrid. Sometimes you're made to look foolish, aren't you, with previews? Now, you know, people asking, what are you thinking ahead of City Madrid? And I think the generic response was City will probably get it done, but Madrid will make it really tough. They're well versed in this tournament, one of the best sides in European football. And actually, it was the opposite of that. Manchester City made Madrid look awfully silly.
It was a fantastic performance from City. The sort of stats didn't really do it justice when you sort of the bare one, 16 shots to 7 and 8 on target to 3 and 60% possession. It felt like much more dominant than that. And had Courtois not made a couple of brilliant saves, you know, it would have been even worse for Real Madrid. City were about as close to perfect as you could get, really. I suppose the only missing thing was that Haaland did miss a couple of chances, but the rest of the performance was just brilliant, you know, right from the back with someone like Kyle Walker looking after Vinicius, you know, John Stones popping up in midfield, you know, Rodri barely puts a foot wrong, does he? Bernardo Silva got a couple of goals. De Bruyne was influential as ever. Gundogan's sort of, this is his time of the season, isn't he? He seems to always thrive at the back end of the campaign. Grealish is unplayable, I think, at times now. Just gave Carvajal a torrid time. Like I say, I mean, Haaland obviously is a threat and occupies centre-backs and had a good game, but, you know, he didn't score. And I'm actually pleased he didn't score, because I think had he kind of been the difference maker, then people would have said afterwards, oh, you know, this is what they were missing. This is what Manchester City were, it was the final piece of the jigsaw. I don't actually think that it is. I last season, Man City outplayed Real Madrid for most of those two legs. And for whatever reason, just, you know, just because football's football, they didn't manage to go through. They were just as dominant, in my opinion. So, you know, this time it just all fell into place. And Real Madrid, I mean, Julian Lescott was on BT, just popping up every 20 seconds I mean, I was pining for Peter Walton at the end, just to give myself a break from Julian Lescott. But you know, one of the things he was saying about Real Madrid was that, you know, this looks like a team of individuals. I'm like, well, have you not seen Real Madrid for the last decade? I mean, that is what they are, and it served them well over the years. And how many times have I said to you, I don't quite know how they get it done, and you look at the sort of underlying stats, it's not amazing from Real Madrid. Sort of, they always kind of, I think, are susceptible to getting a bit of a hiding from a team that plays like this. And, you know, Manchester City can do that to anyone, but two very, very different styles. Obviously, you've got the collective of City and the individual kind of brilliance at times at Real Madrid, but I'd always take a team over the individuals. And, you know, you put a team with the best sort of resources in terms of finance, with the best coach, and you've got the best team. Now, whether they finally break their duck in the Champions League, I mean, it's still one game to go, but and, you know, there's no doubt that they are the best team in Europe, even if they lose to Inter. You know, they are just an outstanding team.
It does feel as if, Mark, ever since that kind of relatively sticky patch Manchester City had earlier on in the season, it felt like there was a real reliance on Haaland at that time. And it was almost like everything they were trying to do had to be through him. And now it feels like they've found a balance and a fluidity about them that, you know, we saw last night. He didn't score. He didn't score in the first leg of this tie. It feels as if it's a lot more well-rounded now at Manchester City.
Well, I think the team selection is much more settled, isn't it? You know, you can... Like, there was a time under Pep Guardiola, and earlier on in the season was, you know, it was really being highlighted. But even that, there were other times, you know, when he was accused of overthinking it. You wouldn't be able to tell, like, what his starting 11 was going to be. Now, I think for the very biggest games, you know what 10 of the 11 players are. There's probably only one spot up for grabs, and that's at left back, whether it's Akanji or Nathan Aké, and both have done well in that position. But that, I think, helps with the fluidity and rhythm of the team when everybody is kind of, you know, working together on a consistent basis. There, you know, when we spoke earlier on in the season, when I was, you know, I was quite down on City, he was, you know, you remember we had Bernardo Silva at left back, and he was trying Rico Lewis in that hybrid role. De Bruyne was in and out of the team. They weren't finding the Haaland runs. You know, Grealish wasn't playing particularly well either, and it just wasn't all fitting. Now, you know what the team is, like Stone stepping into midfield has given them what he was looking for with and without possession, without needing to sort of put Bernardo Silva in a very unfamiliar role, and you know, it's working spectacularly well. And even with the changes, you kind of know now what the changes are going to be. It's usually you know, Mahrez and Foden come in out wide, and Julian Alvarez comes in usually for De Bruyne in that position, although it could be for Gundogan. So there is a settled nature to them. I don't know if I'm giving Guardiola too much credit and thinking that he's maybe played the World Cup hand best. Maybe there's some luck involved, but, you know, definitely in that first part of the season, for whatever reason, they were holding something back, and now they're not, and they all look fresh. And they're ready to go, aren't they? And they're now, you know, three games from glory, really, of winning the treble. And I just wonder, from City's point of view, they'll probably be cursing that defeat at Southampton in the League Cup, because, you know, the quadruple, you know, it's been on for them before, isn't it? And they've kind of stumbled somewhere along the lines. Maybe actually going out of the League Cup before the semi-finals has helped them, because those two-legged semi-finals in January are just never ideal. I just think that if you have a look at Newcastle and Manchester United, I think both of them teams have felt the pinch a little bit, and it will have been, I'm pretty sure, in part because of having to play those two-legged semi-finals and then the final after that. It's not an ideal stage of the season. Now, obviously, they've got the three biggest pots to go for. Should win the Premier League this weekend. Manchester United in the FA Cup final and Inter in the Champions League final. I mean, you know, they're strong favourites to win both of those cup finals.
Yeah, absolutely. More on Manchester City later on in the show. Just a quick word on Inter, obviously up against it. Price is brought to you by Copybet today. Correct at time of recording. Roughly City 5's on to go on and win the Champions League now, which means Milan about 7-2. I mean, they progressed past AC Milan comfortably, Mark, in the end. It was 3-0 on aggregate. It was a fairly one-sided second leg, if you're looking solely at the numbers. Do Inter have any chance going into this?
They do have a chance. I mean, the problem is that Manchester City are just the best team around. If City played to their best, then they probably win. But Inter are a fascinating team in as much as their underlying data says that they're much closer to Napoli than the league table would suggest. And actually, they're starting to turn it on a bit now. They came through a very difficult group stage ahead of Barcelona, of course, and now the Spanish champion. So that's a strong form line, you know, if you were sort of using horse racing parlance. They then beat a couple of Portuguese teams that, okay, I think you can argue about the overall sort of quality of Porto and Benfica, but I think that would be doing a disservice to Benfica. Actually, I thought Inter made look ordinary. And then, you know, Milan had come through against Napoli in that previous round, but were barely laid a glove on their neighbours. I thought Inter were just stronger and better in every department. Lautaro Martinez, they've got somebody that might be able to hurt Manchester City. Experienced and strong defence. Goalkeeper in Onana that is capable of having like worldies and can frustrate teams in midfield. You look at that, there's quality there. Barella, player I've always liked. Mkhitaryan, and Shalanolu, again, midfielders that have played at the highest level for a long time. So it's not like it should be an absolute stroll in the park for Manchester City, but if City play to their best, like I said earlier, difficult to see past them.
Absolutely. It does feel like the year it's finally clicked for Manchester City. Let's just take a quick look at the top four race in the Premier League then. Things have got interesting. There's a game on this evening. We're recording this on Thursday, 18th of May. So apologies if you're listening to it after they've already played. But it's Newcastle against Brighton. I'll just quickly read you the prices to finish in the top four. These brought to you by Copybet. Manchester United 6 is on, Newcastle 2-7, Liverpool 11-8, Brighton outsiders 33-1. But I think if you would have looked at this maybe even a month ago, Mark, it would have, the picture would have looked quite clear, but it's, things are somewhat muddled now.
Yeah, I think, we should probably, for the purposes of this, say, right, Liverpool win both of their remaining two games because, I mean, it's not, they should beat Southampton away. Aston Villa at home is definitely not a gimme, but if they don't win that game, then there's no point of really talking about the top four. So let's assume that they can get to 71 points. You're then looking, Newcastle, as the odds suggest, are the more vulnerable. They're going to need, they're on 66 at the moment. So they're going to need five, points to make absolutely certain of it, assuming Liverpool win both of their games. They've got Brighton, as you say, tonight. Not an easy game, given what Brighton did to Arsenal. And then they've got Leicester at home on Monday. They should win that one. They should win that one. So if they beat Brighton, you would really fancy them then to make sure they get to 72 points. If they don't beat Brighton, and this is why I think it's such a big game, if they don't beat Brighton, they could have a knee knocker, isn't it? Is that in golf where you maybe got that sort of five or six downhill putt for a par or whatever that you should get, if you're going to Chelsea needing something on the final day, like Chelsea have been terrible, of course they have, but Pochettino, although he won't be manager, will be announced by then. You'd imagine that should be a bit of motivation for the players. It shouldn't be an easy game, should it? Chelsea away. So I think this is an absolutely massive game for Newcastle. If they get a point, it's not terrible, because then they might only need to get one at Stamford Bridge. If they suddenly need to go to Stamford Bridge needing a win, I think that's when it becomes really awkward for them. And of course, even that Leicester game, I was going to say Leicester are fighting for their lives. They're not showing much fight at the moment, but they might need to win that game at St. James's to stay up. So from a position a few weeks ago when they thrashed Tottenham, there was a lot of big celebrations, wasn't there, around the stadium after, during that game and then afterwards. It felt like that was the moment for Newcastle that they'd actually sealed top four. Their results combined with Liverpool's results just making it a bit more, a more nervy than it looked like it would be. As far as Manchester United are concerned, they've got nice fixtures. They've got Chelsea at home. They go to Bournemouth. If you can't win, and they've got Fulham at home, if you can't get your points there, if you can't get sort of 6 points there, then you don't really deserve to be in the Champions League, do you? So I think they'll do it. Brighton, not impossible if they were to win their four remaining games, but unlikely, I think it's fair to say. But what a season they've had, irrespective of whether they get Champions League or not.
Absolutely. It's going to be a fascinating couple of weeks. Let's get on to our match of the day.
Bet £10 and get £40 in free bets with Copybet, a sports book like no other, where you can copy bets from the top tipsters. Head over to copybet.com/promo/free-bet to claim. New customers only. Free bets are available only to UK residents over 18 years old. Terms apply. Please gamble responsibly. BeGambleAware.org.
Sunday's game, 4 o'clock, Manchester City against Chelsea. As I said earlier on in the show, price is brought to you by Copybet. 1-4 Manchester City, 24-5 the draw, 17-2 Chelsea. And Mark, it feels remarkable that Chelsea, they would love to get the title wrapped up, but City could get the
title. That would be remarkable, yeah.
Considering where we were at, I don't know, a couple of months ago, you know, it was Arsenal's to lose at that point. And I know that you were kind of, you know, providing context around it all. And it was, you still felt it as if it was, you know, City's to try and win. It looks as if they will do now. But, you know, I think you sometimes, we're all very short-minded in football, aren't we? And you sometimes forget where clubs are from. And the run City have put together over the last 2 months has been absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, it is trademark City, the only games that they've not won since, was it that 1-1 draw against Nottingham Forest, which was ridiculous because they were all over Forest and conceded right late on, were Champions League away games against Leipzig, Bayern Munich and Real Madrid, of course, two legs. And, you know, the context of that is that they didn't need to win those games. They have stepped it up, and particularly at home, which is where they've won every home game this year, this calendar year. The last team to take points. Can you remember the last team to take points off City at home, Jack?
At home? No.
Everton.
Was it really?
It was. Yeah, Damari Gray scored that solo effort that on New Year's Eve.
Well, that feels like it was about 4 years ago.
It does, yeah. I mean, the two teams have gone in very different directions since then. And most teams have not even got close to them. You know, Leeds obviously only lost by one goal, but it was as easy as you like, really, for nearly the whole game, just that late sort of moment where you worried that they were about to chuck it away. But nobody else, since Arsenal in the FA Cup have even managed to get to within a goal of them. It's just been, you know, one-way traffic for them. And, you know, you can go back and look at that game. Do you remember they were 2-0 down at Tottenham and then turned it around in the second half. And since then, really, it's been incredible what they've managed to do. I don't see Chelsea being good enough, really, to sort of spoil the title party. It's probably the worst news possible for Frank Lampard that, obviously former Everton manager, he'll be looking to try and kind of repeat that trick. But, had the title not been on the line, then maybe you might have got an after the Lord's Mayor show type performance from Manchester City. But, you know, they'll be sniffing it, won't they? This weekend might even win it without playing. Of course, if Arsenal, it doesn't work out for them at the City Ground. But I mean, Man City should not be long odds on to beat Chelsea, really, when you look at the two budgets. But they are because of where the two teams are at. And, you know, that's the big job for Pochettino next year and over the next couple of years, is to get Chelsea, you know, back competing at a level where they're not fearing humiliation at the Etihad.
Does feel like a mammoth job at the moment. The debate at the moment, Mark, kind of surrounds, I guess, the lack of competitiveness, if you say, at the top of the table. I mean, if City were to win it, and you suspect they would, it would be their fifth in 6 years. It would be their third Premier League title in a row. You know, we often jest, don't we, when you look at, I don't know, Germany and other countries on the continent, France, of being, you know, a bit of a farmers league, people like to see. But, you know, we've got a similar thing going on in the Premier League. Is it a concern for you?
I think it has to be a concern. I mean, we've had some good title races, mainly due to Liverpool, you know, stepping up incredibly well. I mean, it's a good job, really, for the neutral that Arsenal have done it. That, you know, to and they were 50-1, let's not forget, at the start of the season, because everybody else is, you know, 20 points behind Manchester City, which I think has got to be a big concern.
It kind of shows it, doesn't it, Mark? I mean, the level of intensity you have to be operating at to even push this Guardiola side close. As you see what Liverpool, you know, have done.
You need 90 points. You need at least 90 points, probably closer to 100.
And look at them certainly for the first half of this season, I mean, completely flawed in terms of, you know, the way they were going about business. And you'd probably put large parts of that down to just the intensity they've been operating at in the past two, three seasons.
Yeah, I think so. It is a concern. Obviously, they've got this financial sort of issue hanging over them, and you know, potential threats from everything from points deduction down to relegations, wasn't it? That sort of aimed at them. The problem I think the rest have got is that you only really see them getting stronger from this. You don't see them getting any worse, do you? So it is a concern. Obviously, I have to wait and see what the financial fair play, kind of what comes out of that. But, you know, from just a purely footballing point of view, you know, it is hard to see anybody getting close to them.
It feels as if, you know, this dominance will only stop when Pep leaves. I mean, that's the only foreseeable thing I see happening.
Yeah, I what I do think as well, though, is that, you know, somebody like Chelsea have spent 600 million. So if you spend 600 million, if you get the coach right and you get the recruitment right, then you should, with that, you know, ridiculously high sort of turnover, you should be able to get close to City, really. You are fighting at the same kind of level. It's just that it feels almost like if somebody pushes City, they've got more gears to go to. Like, you know, Liverpool went toe to toe with them and they were able to get to 100 points. So they've only kind of done enough, if you like, never pushing themselves more than they absolutely need to. From a neutral point of view, you'd be hoping that, you know, Bernardo Silva continually being linked with moves away. Gundogan looks like he might leave. Maybe there's hope for the rest there, but I'm clutching, really. What I think the other teams need to do is to just, I suppose, up their aggression, really. And you've got to play to win every single match now. A draw is not a good result, is it? You just have to win. And there used to be this thing, and, a draw away from home, you know, keep it tight early on, et cetera, et cetera. You just, if you want to win the league now, you've got to push every single game to try to win. I think that's what Arsenal have done very well this season. You know, they have been aggressive. They had tried to win every game, and that will occasionally come back to bite you. And actually, if anything, they went away from their principles a touch, I felt, against Brighton and took a step back. And that wasn't the right move. I think you just need to keep pushing forward. And the one thing I liked about City against Real Madrid was their forward players did so much work in terms of winning the ball back. And, you just wonder why other teams can't do that. You're like, well, Liam, why can't those Chelsea players run around and win the ball back? That has to come from Pep, I suppose.
Absolutely. City flying, Chelsea struggling. What's the bet for this one?
I'm going to go for Man City to win and under 3.5 goals. I still think any old win will do for City. You know, if they're 2-0 up, there's no need for them to go crazy. They're just going to want to finish the job, concentrate on what will be the next most important games. And Chelsea, for all of their problems, and they've only been 9 goals in 7 games against the top 5 this season. So they've tended to be involved in low scoring games. Whether Lampard's got the nous to keep it close, I suppose, is an issue. But, you know, Pochettino, he's not absolutely confirmed when we speak, but the fact he's going to be the next manager should inspire those players that are drifting to at least put it in, you know, to show that they deserve to be part of next season's team. I just think City will win comfortably without it being spectacular.
There we go. Let's get on to the rest of the Premier League games. We'll start with the early kickoff on Saturday, 12:30, 5-6 Spurs, 11-4 the draw, Brentford 14-5. Talk me through this one, Mark.
Brentford or draw, double chance. Obviously, no Ivan Toney, being banned for 8 months. I think it's difficult for us to sort of speak about whether that's fair or not without the written report coming out. But I've loved some of the sort of journalists getting stuck into betting today and saying how hypocritical it is of football to be associated with betting, but then, you know, Ivan Toney getting such a big ban and, you know, putting the boot into betting, if you like. And yet these are the same people that write about how well run Brentford and Brighton are and, you know, how great it is to see them doing well. And obviously the money from Matthew Benham, Brentford owner, and Tony Bloom, you know, significant portion of that would have come from, you know, their betting prowess and the way that they run their clubs is using data that professional gamblers, you know, have been using and sort of, you know, in terms of the analytics. So, I just found that quite interesting. But yeah, Brentford not to lose this game. I'm not sure if Spurs are that bothered about whether they're in Europe or not next season. Not another poor performance for them at Villa last week. And Brentford, you know, they have won at Manchester City and they've drawn at Arsenal and they've drawn at Brighton this season. So even without Ivan Toney, I think they'll be difficult to put away.
Are you bothered about European football next season?
I am to the point of, you know, if I thought that Tottenham were going to improve next season and be a much sort of bigger threat, then I wouldn't be that bothered about, say, qualifying for the Europa Conference League. But I actually think that this might be Tottenham's level for a considerable while now. While, you know, it's going to take a new manager, they've got a lot of issues to sort out with the players. And so if your level is kind of Europa Conference League and you're in it, you might as well try to win it, mightn't you? That would be my sort of thought process.
You've just accepted sort of mediocrity and anything above that you'll be happy with. It sounds like that's where you're
at. Yeah, I think that, well, I mean, you know, if someone's prepared to show you what you are, then believe them. And I think that's what Tottenham have shown what they are this season. Yeah.
Let's take a look at the 4:00 games on Saturday. We'll start with Bournemouth, Manchester United, 5-1 Bournemouth. 15-4 the draw, United 2's on. Which way do you see this one going?
Yeah, Man United to win. They've won to, and obviously sort of 2's on, you might want to put a bit of extra juice in it. So I'm going to go for United to win to nil. Their last 5 wins have all been without conceding. We've spoken earlier on about the importance of this game to Manchester United. Bournemouth barely laid a glove on Palace last week. Feels like a good game for Manchester United to get 3 points.
Okay, let's take a look at Fulham against Palace. 29-20 Fulham, 12-5 the draw. Palace 19-10. Both sides will be, I think, pleased with the outcome of this season, Mark.
Yeah, I just felt that Fulham draw no bet here was the way to go. Home advantage, you know, last home game at the Cottage this season. Don't see Marco Silva wanting them to, you know, finish with a whimper. Mitro, he's back, isn't he, from suspension. Didn't take him long to score at Southampton last week. And I looked at Fulham's last 7 games. They've won 4 and then lost the other 3 by 1 goal. Those defeats, Man City, Liverpool and Aston Villa. So 3 of the real form teams in the Premier League. Palace have obviously picked up under Roy Hodgson. But away from home, I felt this was being slightly disrespectful to a Fulham team that, let's not forget, is 8 points superior in the Premier League table at the moment.
Let's take a look at Liverpool against Villa. 9-20 Liverpool, 4-1 the draw, 21-4 Villa. Mark, it feels as if, I don't know, 3-4 weeks ago, we were talking about Liverpool, you know, starting to score a few more goals, but still really leaky at the back. You know, that 4-3 against Spurs sticks out in my head. Since then, 3 consecutive clean sheets. Klopp's got that defence tightened up a bit.
He has. I still feel like they're vulnerable, but obviously the stats
small
would say,
small step.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And that they, you know, got a lot of firepower in the team, and moving Alexander Arnold into the midfield position when they've got possession, adding another sort of string to their attacking bow. 1-7 in a row. Motivation is there, obviously, as they push for top 4. But I think that Villa are motivated themselves. They'll, you know, the 7th spot in Europa Conference League is a target for them, and so I expect them to go to Anfield with, you know, fighting as if it was for a Champions League spot. That I don't think they're bothered about what European competition they might be in. They're a very capable team. I was looking at a stat last week. They were 14 points behind Tottenham when Unai Emery was appointed, and they've now drawn level with Spurs, which goes to show just how much he's improved them. And so I'm going to go for Aston Villa +1 on the Asian handicap, where you get your money back if Liverpool win by only 1 goal. And, you know, let's not forget, they were on a run of five wins by just that single goal until they managed to put Leicester to the sword. But I think Villa will put up more of a fight than Leicester.
Okay, now the relegation puzzle is still yet to be complete, and there's a few big games on the Saturday to put a few more pieces in there. Wolves against Everton, 7-4 Wolves, 23-10 the draw, Everton 8-5. I mean, you can probably add Leicester to the relegation frame alongside Southampton now, but Mark. But in terms of Everton, Leeds, you'd throw Forest in the picture as well. Still plenty to play for, and this is a big game having a say in that.
Yeah, but and if you have a look at the match prices, you know, really are now influenced by what's on the line for Everton, because you know there's no other justification, is there, for thinking that Everton are suddenly favourites to win at Molineux. I was looking at the relegation picture. I think if you can get to 35 points, and we spoke about this, didn't we, last week, I think that will be enough. They've got Bournemouth at home on the last day, Everton, and they're on 32 now. Maybe Sean Dyche is thinking 36, and so beat Bournemouth, and then if they can get a point here, that would be a really, really big result. And I think we should also speak about this game in relation to the other ones, particularly the Leeds United game on Sunday, because if Everton get at least a point in this game, it's going to mean that Leeds will need to beat West Ham to get above them going into the final game of the season. If Everton lose, Leeds, if they get a draw, they could will jump above Everton. And I think that would be psychologically, you know, just huge to be out of the bottom three going into the final day, thinking that it's in your hands. So I think what happens in this game at Molineux is going to affect the performances of the other teams, Nottingham Forest, for instance, and also Leeds. So it's going to be tricky to preview some of these other games. I know we've got to do it, but for this one, I'm going to go Wolves, draw no bet. Wolves have won six of their last eight home games, all of them to nil. And, you know, if you take out that Everton mad result at Brighton, I don't think there's that much to get excited about here. It's certainly not at the prices. So, yeah, Wolves draw no bet in what could be final home game, maybe for like Ruben Neves and a few of those other Wolves players. Sounds like there might be a clear out coming in the summer.
Yeah, it's been one of the best relegation kind of battles, I think, for quite a few seasons. Now, the evening game on Saturday sees Forest hosting Arsenal. 9-2 Forest, 10-3 the draw. Arsenal 4-7. Arsenal potentially, very much so out of the title race picture now, you'd say. Forest creeping ever so slowly to Premier League survival. As you said there, Mark, earlier, probably needing a point or two and may well fancy one of those to come here.
Yeah, they've got the Forest problem is their goal difference, minus 31. So, you know, whatever the points tally is to be, they're the one that needs to get one more than that. Otherwise, you know, they'll be relegated. Go to Crystal Palace on the final day. Not the worst away trip you would have thought, but, you know, they won't want to leave it to chance. So this is going to be a game that's going to be, you know, great atmosphere at City Ground. They've done well at home this season, which is just as well, because away from home, they haven't been very good for most of the campaign. Arsenal, I think, emotionally shot really now, although mathematically still in the title race, realistically, it's over for them. I'm going to go for over 2.5 goals. 10 of Arsenal's last 11 in the Premier League have been over 2.5. And the one that wasn't was that 2-0 win at Newcastle. And there was 11 shots on target in that game. We usually work on the basis of about 3 shots on target for every goal. That is a rough working out. So, you know, can't be exact, but still shows you that, we probably should have had more than 2 goals at St. James's in that one. Nottingham Forest, 15 without a clean sheet. So that tells its own story. And I can see it's being quite an energetic match, really. And maybe Arsenal will start playing better now the pressure's off them. We'll have to wait and see about that one. But yeah, I can see goals at both ends.
Okay, sounds like an exciting one. I suspect the early kickoff on Sunday will be exciting as well. West Ham against Leeds, 1:30 this. 11-8 West Ham, 5-2 the draw. Leeds, 19-10. It's funny, isn't it, Mark? Because Leeds probably needed to beat Newcastle last weekend, but in a roundabout way, a point was probably a good result considering the circumstances. So not down and out yet, but it's getting that way.
Yeah, no, I'll disagree with you there, Jack. I think a point is and was a good result for them. I think we always overestimate how many points teams at the bottom are going to get. And actually, you know, every point really does matter. And they were considerable outsiders away to Newcastle. It was the hardest game they had left of their three remaining at the time. Obviously, go to West Ham, who are in Europa Conference League semi-final action on Thursday. So that might take something out of their legs. And then finish at home to a Tottenham team that's had troubles away from home, and actually might be a side that you'd fancy beating at home, you know, if your survival's on the line on the final day. So I think a point, you know, was one to be celebrated. As I've said, I think that the Everton result is going to have a big influence on the way that Leeds approach this game. If a point gets Leeds out of the bottom three, I think that's Big Sam will set Leeds up not to lose and to be out of the relegation zone heading into the final game. If they need to win the match because Everton have picked up something, then I think you might see a different approach. I'm going to go for the draw for now. It keeps Leeds alive in this relegation battle. West Ham have got that big game on Thursday, so might not be totally at it. But I do think there'll be some motivation, probably David Moyes' last game in charge. And unfortunately for Leeds, everybody hates them, and there's no getting away from that. And I'm sure the West Ham fans would revel in sort of, you know, getting a positive result that might send them and a manager in Sam Allardyce that they didn't totally love when he was in charge there, closer to the relegation zone. So I'm going to go for the draw at the moment. Yeah, but do keep an eye on that Everton game, because I think it changes the dynamic of what Leeds might try to do.
So let's say Everton win in the earlier game. Do you think that the Leeds game suddenly becomes far more open?
Yeah, it absolutely does. And I think that won't suit Leeds, and there might actually then be more value in maybe just backing West Ham to win.
Okay, a couple more games to preview in the Premier League, and then we'll get Mark's treble that will be enhanced this week. Let's take a look at Brighton against Southampton. Of course, Southampton already down. Brighton still outsiders, but a chance of top four, as we discussed earlier. Brighton 1-5, 6-1 the draw. Southampton 12-1. It's been a funny few weeks for Brighton. 5-1 defeat to Everton and a 3-0 win against Arsenal. Topsy-turvy.
Yeah, but I think when you sort of the risk reward of how they play, that does leave you vulnerable occasionally, but you're going to be much better off in the long run. Brighton were brilliant, and people focused on Arsenal's sort of failings in that game for obvious reasons, you know, because title race sort of blew up. But Brighton were just sensational. They're probably, if your season was starting now, I think you'd really fancy them for top four. And I'm just going to go -1 here. I think that they're capable of cutting loose. They absolutely walloped Wolves, didn't they, a couple of weeks ago. Southampton relegated, not showing much fight. Yeah, Brighton to win very easily.
Monday Night Football, Newcastle-Leicester, 4-11 Newcastle, 9-2 the draw, Leicester 13-2. We haven't really touched on Leicester too much this episode, Mark, but it looks likely that Dean Smith will be taking them down. It was, I mean, no one expected them to beat Liverpool, but the way in which I think they went to defeat won't please anyone. And I guess the other thing to add in here is more of an emotional element. It feels like the clubs in and around them are buoyed ever so slightly, whether that's new manager or a recent turn in form. Things just aren't looking happy at Leicester. I think that has a big part to play in the run-in.
Yeah, I totally agree. Obviously, their goal difference -18 means that, you know, maybe 4 points might be enough, but they probably can't think like that at this stage. And they'll know, obviously, playing on the Monday, what they need to do. Possibly it is 2 wins. They've got West Ham on the final day at home, so, you know, 3 points potentially there. But are they going to get anything against Newcastle, a Newcastle team that will either be looking to win this game to secure top four, depending on what happens against Brighton, or, you know, it'll be an absolute sort of must win for them because, you know, they've slipped up in that game. I just think that Leicester haven't got the fight to go to Newcastle, what's going to be a frenzied atmosphere, and do anything. So Newcastle to win and over 2.5 goals. Leicester 21 games without a a clean sheet. I mean, you know, it's hard to do anything really when you're so bad defensively.
There we go. That's your Premier League card, Mark. Let's get Mark's treble. It will be enhanced on the Copybet website. You can head over there, check out the links in the description and find it on the Daily Acca section. Mark, spin us through your three picks for the treble.
Man United to beat Bournemouth. Pressure's growing on United, but you know Bournemouth didn't have a shot on target against Crystal Palace last week. I'm going to go for Brighton, -1 on the handicap against Southampton. Southampton have conceded 10 goals in their last three away games, which does not bode well for this trip to the Amex. And, you know, Brighton are capable of putting the best teams to the sword. And sorry, Saints definitely don't fall into that category. And then finally, crazy world of football betting at this stage of the season. Napoli not even considered favourites at home to Inter, because Inter need the points for Champions League qualification. Napoli have already sewn up the title, but they are 17 points clear of Inter. And I spoke earlier about the fact that, yeah, that is probably misguided and the two teams are closer. But I'm sure that Napoli are going to want to put on a real show in front of their own supporters here. And, yeah, that should be motivation enough. So, yeah, Napoli to beat Inter, Brighton -1 against Southampton, and Man United to beat Bournemouth.
There we go. Mark's treble for this week. That's been boosted to 21-5 on the Copybet website. You can check that out in the description below.
And now I'm joined by my Racing Post colleague, Dan Charles, to talk all things EFL. Charles, I think there's only one place to start this week, really. Luton and Coventry battling it out in the Championship playoff after their semi-final wins. Remarkable for both teams to, you know, to be one game away from a return to the top flight.
Absolutely incredible. If you'd have said at the start of the season, you know, that Luton and Coventry would be your playoff finalists, I think, you know, you'd have been carried away, really. I mean, Luton, to be fair, were in the playoffs last season, you know, and amazingly have done even better this season. Coventry, you know, on their budget, I mean, starting the season with their pitch not being after the rugby that was played there in a state to use, had to play, couldn't play at home for a long time, didn't win a game for the first seven matches, were bottom of the league. I mean, so, you know, for them to get there, and deservedly so, is even more remarkable. And you'd have to say they both deserve to come through the semi-finals.
I mean, just in terms of Mark Robins, I mean, obviously, one of the, I suppose, less heralded ones, really, from the Fergie camp. But so many of that played under Ferguson didn't actually make it, you know, as great managers. You know, Steve Bruce had, I don't know how many cracks at it. You know, Paul Gary Ince. Neville, Paul Ince. It's been a lot of them, haven't there, that have had a go and not, you know, Brian Robson, for instance, another one.
I think you'd have to say he's probably the pick, wouldn't you? Mark Robins, over six years.
What's the magic?
I just think he's a damn good manager, very understated. And you know, just gets on with a job. And when you think about what he's had, I mean, I spoke about this season, but what he's had thrown at him, you know, over many years at Coventry, having to play the, you know, home games at Northampton and at Birmingham. And somehow he's not only, you know, managed to get through that, and you know, the financial problems about kept having to sell players all the time, and they've not only got through that, but they've actually come through the divisions. I mean, Coventry were sort of a laughing stock for a while, was the team that had gone the longest without having a promotion. He's got them up from League Two to League One, then up into the Championship, and now, you know, they're on the brink of reaching the Premier League. Absolutely incredible.
Yeah, I think I seem to remember, I'm pretty sure I was at a game between Crawley and Coventry late when they were both in League One. James Maddison, I'm just looking now, James Maddison scored injury time winner for Coventry that sent Crawley down. I remember going to that game. So we'll preview that next week, that final, and also the League One and League Two playoff finals. But we've still got some semi-finals, second legs to be played. I know you've got two tips, Dan, for this week. So we'll start with your first one on Friday at Oakwell, Barnsley.
Yeah, we'll start off with Barnsley against Bolton. I feel a bit guilty with this one because my opinion's changed. I fancied Bolton at the start of the League One playoffs and picked them to win the League One playoffs. But, as always, in betting, you have to be prepared to change your opinion from what you see in front of you. And you know, from what I saw the first leg, Barnsley were just so dominant in that leg. I'm actually going to go for Barnsley now to win this second leg and get through. I mean, going back to that first leg, they won the shot count 19-7 overall. Their style of play, they pressed really high in that match. You know, you're thinking they're going to go away from home and be like happy to sort of keep the game tight and take it back to Oakwell. But they actually really went for Bolton and deserved to win the game, really. You know, went in front when Nicky Cadden put them in front in the second half, and then did the worst thing happened. They conceded just a few minutes later. You're often, you know, said that you're most vulnerable when you've just scored a goal. But Bolton looked unsettled in that game. Gethin Jones, who's been a lot of their supporters say is a big player for them in defence, good defender, he's comfortable on the ball. And maybe that sort of unsettled them a lot more than people would have thought. And, you know, they struggled passing the ball out. Barnsley sort of sensed that and really pressed them. And they were so dangerous with sort of counter-attacks and with set pieces. You can't see Barnsley's threat being any less at home. They've won 9 of their last 11 home games. I mean, in that run, they've beaten Sheffield Wednesday, Plymouth, Portsmouth, Derby a bit 4-1. I mean, you know, they've been incredible at home. So, you know, now they've kind of got their mojo back. Towards the end of the season, they went off the ball a bit when they couldn't sort of make the top two. But you get the feeling they were saving a bit, clearly, for the playoffs. And they look back at it now, Barnsley, and I think they'll finish the job.
And your second bet, I know, comes in the game between Stockport and Salford. So are you backing injury hits Stockport to overturn the 1-0 deficit? Or
no,
Salford
no, to hold on? I'm going to go against injury hit stop. I just think that, you know, mainly for because of the injuries, the knowledge on those injuries is a little bit sort of, you know, sketchy. We know that that the top scorer, Kyle Wootton's got a long-term injury, so he's not going to be involved. Paddy Madden and Will Collar were sort of less certain about whether they're going to come back. But if they do come back, I mean, neither of them have started a game for 4 weeks. So, you know, how fit are they going to be? And I just think the market's not really paying enough attention to this. I mean, since they've had these injuries, their performances have dipped. You look at the game, you know, against Hartlepool. Okay, in the end, you know, if they'd have won the game, they wouldn't have gone up. But it was a game they went into thinking we need to win this game. They didn't win. It didn't play very well in that game and looked less of a threat. Then you go into the first leg at Salford. They've only had one shot on target. Salford sort of went in front early on and then were happy to hold on to their lead. But I had the feeling that if Salford had been more aggressive, they could have even gone on and you know, increased their advantage. I think the tie now set up, Stockport have got to go at Salford at home. They will have their backing of a big home crowd, which I think is heavily factored into the market. They tend to get around 10,000 there, you know, and they make a big noise there at Edgeley Park. But at the end of the day, it's the players that win your games, and Salford have got a lot of good ones. Elliot Watt can kind of run a game from midfield, probably the best playmaker in League Two. You've got Matt Smith, you know, his physical presence up front. Callum Hendry and Conor McElhaney are both into double figures for the season. Luke Bolton, I mean, on the counter-attack, he's one of the fastest players in League Two, and he's going to be a massive threat with Stockport trying to push forward. So I just think all in all, with the injuries Stockport have got and how good Salford are, I think you can get odds against for Salford not to lose this second leg, which is obviously what I need to go through. I think that's a really good bet.
Okay, thanks very much, Dan.
You're welcome.
Always great to hear from Dan Charles. It's always a fun time of the season, isn't it, in the EFL. Always very enjoyable, less so when Norwich aren't involved. Mark, let's get your best bets then for the for this week to round off this week's episode. We'll start with your prop shop.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Abdoulaye Doucouré to have a shot on target for Everton at Wolves. He's had a shot on target in 4 of his last 7 matches, and he's around about 2-1 for a shot on target. You know, obviously not an easy game away at Wolves, but expecting Everton to, you know, play relatively positively, that they're going to need some kind of result there. And Doucouré seems to be playing, you know, further forward. Certainly, you know, he's not a defensive midfielder these days, that's for sure.
A juicy price for the prop shop. Let's get a bigger price for the long shot.
I'm going to go for Brighton to beat Southampton 4-0. I mean, it's absolutely mental, really, that they're averaging more shots and more shots on target than Manchester City in the Premier League this season. I mean, that is some going. Obviously, the way that they play, occasionally they're going to take a hiding, as they did in surprising fashion against Everton. But if you have a look at it, you know, more often than not, it's them that's dishing out the thrashings at the moment. So much quality all over the pitch, particularly you know, in the wide areas as well. So if Southampton lack motivation, it could be a long afternoon for them.
There's been plenty that we've discussed this week, Mark, but out of everything, what's your strongest bet?
Going to stick with Brighton, actually. -1 against the Saints side that's conceded at least 2 goals in 8 of their last 10 games. And, you know, I think if you're relegated, lacking motivation, you don't want to, you have to work hard against Brighton. And if you sort of drop off your kind of discipline, you really are in for a very difficult 90 minutes.
There we go. A joy as always. Thanks to Mark and a big thanks to Dan as well for his insight on the EFL. We'll be back next week for our final podcast of the season. I know it's gone so quickly. It will be a busy one. We will be featuring the Premier League finale, all of the EFL playoff finals. We've got an FA Cup final to look to and the Champions League final as well. So make sure you chunk out a bit of time next week for that one. As always, remember that please do gamble responsibly. Only ever gamble with money that you can afford to lose. This has been Mark Langdon's Bets Club, brought to you by Copybet. Take care.
Thank you for listening to Mark Langdon's Bets Club, sponsored by Copybet.